Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Yeah.
We're recording this a little bit earlier than we usually do on a Sunday, because that's a normal day that we record a podcast. We're doing this early today because it's Father's Day and you are being the dutiful son, but I know you are, Ben, and taking old Pa Harmer out. I'm assuming a lovely meal. What are you taking him out for?
We're taking him out for a lovely meal. He almost took himself out permanently this week, so we're treating him to a nice meal.
What's he done?
Well, he briefly forgot how gravity works and ended up plummeting through the garden onto the concrete patio below and put himself in hospital with four broken ribs, a broken collarbone, and stitches required to the head.
I mean, it sounds like the opening of an episode of Casualty.
It basically was.
It's not really funny, is it? Pa Harmer smashes his head to bits on concrete. It's not the comedy start to the podcast I was hoping for.
But well,
I'm assuming he's all right as you're taking him out for dinner.
If he will insist on being the stuntman of South Croydon, then you reap what you sow. But no, he's on the mend, and we're going to treat him to a lovely Father's Day dinner to hopefully make him feel a bit better.
Good. Well, very nice. And wishing you a very speedy recovery, Big Jeff. Hope you get well soon. And Ben, I hope his memory's not, you know, been affected and he remembers who you are.
Well, if he doesn't remember, then I'm keeping that Amazon voucher for Father's Day.
Is that all you're getting him? Amazon voucher.
Is that all I'm getting him? I brought him chocolate. I made a drive to Croydon University Hospital to look after the old boy. What do you mean, is that all I'm getting him? He owes me petrol money as far as I'm concerned.
Right, okay. So looking after him in the hospital is just part of his Father's Day present. As far as you're concerned.
And how's your dad? You doing anything special for him?
He's on holiday.
Did you pay for some of the holiday? Did you get him a little something?
Well, we gave the card to my mum, so that's in the luggage. And then what we've
so
done
it sounds like you've been even cheaper than me on your high horse.
We were going to buy him, yeah, maybe some booze to take on holiday. And then I thought, well, you know, that's extra stuff to pack up, isn't it?
You know, so you got him a card and you're looking down your nose at me.
And we gave some money to my mum and said, now you can give him the money to go and buy the wine. The thing is, right, I think Father's Day is a difficult one because there's so much tat for Father's Day, isn't it? I mean, Mother's Day, there is the tat, but there's flowers for Mother's Day. You know, for Father's Day, it's very difficult. It's basically booze, maybe chocolates, and then you're into the tat, aren't you? The world's best dad mug.
Yeah, I've had to rule out booze this year because apparently the old boy's become unsteady on his feet when he's sober, so I can't introduce alcohol into the situation.
Yeah, but maybe it would stop him going out, get him hooked on the booze. And then when he does go out, it's only till Wetherspoons.
True, not a bad idea.
I was going through a list of some of the worst Father's Day gifts that you can get.
Okay, well, I think, you know, we're both safe. I mean, an Amazon voucher, he can spend that as he wishes. A nice card and a bottle of wine can't go far wrong. So maybe not the most exciting, but they're safe, our gifts.
What about some pet yeast?
Pet yeast?
That's the thing. It's taken off, apparently. Pet yeast.
You know, I don't even know what that means.
Well, what do you think it means? It's a jar of yeast.
Well, I understand what yeast is for, but what does pet yeast mean?
Well, you've got to look after it. You know, like there's this thing about if you make soda bread, you've got to sort of...
Oh, okay.
Start it off with...
Like a sourdough starter.
Yeah, yeah. But people are turning that into a sort of pet now. And this is a genuine thing, by the way, that people are doing. And giving it as a gift is a possibility. So you give it to them, then they have to look after it. They have to sort of make sure that it's well... It's a bit like when you gave people a pet rock back in the day. But I suppose you've actually got to do something with the yeast.
No, that's fine. I think sourdough starter is quite a thoughtful present. It's quite a burden because you do have to keep it alive and then you do have to keep making bread with it, sort of endless supplies. And sourdough bread isn't the easiest thing to make. It's quite labour intensive. It takes like weeks.
I don't think you've got to make the bread, mate. You just got to keep looking after the yeast.
No, I don't think anyone keeps sourdough starter alive just for the fun of it. It's not like a Tamagotchi.
No, that's what I'm telling you. They do.
No, they don't. Why on earth would you do that?
That's what I'm telling you. It's a growing thing that people, this is particularly in China, this is taking off as a thing, that you don't make the bread, you just look after the yeast.
It's, oh, that's ridiculous.
So, but that's what I'm telling you. You don't have to make the bread. You just got to look after the pet yeast. You've got to feed it with its dry yeast, flour, water, a little bit of sugar.
Just for the sake of it?
Well,
this is like keeping mould.
Well, you'll probably grow to love it eventually. You might even name it in the end. So it might become something that you actually bond with. And the good thing about it is, I'm assuming because it's yeast and if you're feeding it, it is going to grow. But to start with, you can take it out with you, presumably. Like if it gets bigger and you've got to put it in a bigger container, it's going to be more difficult to take out with you. But, you know, you could probably take a little bit out with you. It could always be with you, wouldn't it?
But sourdough starter is a faff to do. But at least you get delicious sourdough bread at the end of the process. To just faff around with it just to keep it just in that state is ridiculous.
Well, I'm saying it's a gift that can be given now.
That isn't a gift. That is an absolute burden.
The idea of yeast being a pet is a new thing.
When you said pet yeast, I initially thought, well, what is this? Like, is it like the sweat from your dog and you're harvesting some sort of yeasty dog sweat? I didn't realise that the yeast was the pet. That's horrible.
But that's less horrible than harvesting the yeast off of an animal's sort of infested wound or wherever the yeast infection's growing.
Well, none of them sound very pleasant, to be honest, but they just sound crazy. That is the worst gift I've ever heard.
I'd like to see a dad's response to getting that on Father's Day, though. Let's imagine that we're a few years in the future and there's a little Ben. There's a little Ben running around. He's about six. You love him so much, Ben. And he runs in. He's like, Daddy, Daddy, happy Father's Day. Look what I've got you. He's giving you a card that's all crayon. I love Daddy on it. It's a big heart. It's like, I love Daddy. And oh, he loves you so much. And then he says, oh, look, I've got you. And he gives you a little pot. Oh, gives you a little pot of yeast. You can't say to him, what the fuck's this, son? You've got to go, oh, son.
Try me.
No, because the emotion will overcome you. And then, of course, you can't just ignore it then, because every day, little Ben, you're becoming, Daddy, Daddy, how's Yeasty doing? How's Yeasty going? And you'd have to go, he's doing fine, son. And then it become a bonding experience for you and little Ben. And oh, the joy it will bring ultimately. And then let's say you do go on to make the bread.
I would.
I mean, what a wonderful moment that's going to be. So from actually thinking that it's a terrible gift, I've actually now convinced myself that it's a great gift. And when there is a little Ben running around, and presumably he's going to need to be counseled by Uncle Trev about many things in life, when he's about six, I'll say to him, Father's Day is coming. And you know what your daddy's always said to me? He wants some pet yeast.
I think the only two men on earth who would know what it was when they were given it would be Paul Hollywood and Greg Wallace. They would be, oh, right, some lovely sourdough starter or some pet yeast. But
yeah, Greg Wallace would probably just flash it, but allegedly.
But I think they would at least turn it into something nice. And I would as well. I wouldn't just keep it as a pet. I'd secretly make sourdough out of it and make good use of it. But yeah, I don't think many men would know what pet yeast was.
Well, that's for little Ben to explain to you, isn't it? I've got you this, Daddy. You've got to look after it. You've got to feed it every day. Feed it water.
You know, I would say, yeah, and who told you, little Ben Jr., who told you about this? Who told you to give Daddy this on Father's Day?
Uncle Trev.
Did he? Yeah. Right, well, his birthday's coming up. I'll give you a list of things to get him, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'd have to say whatever he gives me, I love, and then it would just go in a cupboard with the rest of it. Right, here's things that dads don't like being given, according to a survey. Novelty underwear. See, I don't think giving your dad an underwear is a good thing anyway. I think, like, underwear is a very personal thing. I like to buy my own underwear. I don't like people buying me underwear. So a friend of mine years ago bought me some novelty pants. And I just thought, I don't like you buying me pants. I don't like you thinking about somewhere to contain my bits.
And what was the novelty element of them? What was it? Christmas-themed? I mean, was it somewhere to keep your nuts warm or something stupid like that?
I think it just had a big smiley face on the front. I mean, when I say novelty, it wasn't like really novelty, but it was a bit like, I don't like this. Right, another thing on the list, boy band tickets. You see, anyone who's buying their dad boy band tickets are buying those tickets for themselves and say, you're taking me to this band, Dad.
Which boy band tickets would you buy for your dad?
Well, I mean, it depends what you mean by boy band. I mean, I think the only band I'd buy my dad tickets to see are the Rolling Stones. I don't think they any longer fall into the category of boy band.
No, not even man band anymore.
Sort of the old people's day out band. But having said that, though, if I'm moving like Mick Jagger when I'm his age, I mean, well, I'm not moving like him now, so there's no chance I'm going to move like him at that age. So fair play to Mick. He's a fucking amazing geriatric old man, if that's what he is.
So what else is on the list of bad presents?
Now, this one, I don't know. I think all dads would want this, but this is on the list. Outdoor grills, barbecues.
Now, that I don't think is anything to do with being a dad. I think, one, that is a man present. And I think, two, that is a great man present.
Yes.
I'd be thrilled if someone got me a grill.
Because, let's face it, I know it's a bit sexy to say. Well, no, it's not sexy to say, because it's just the man's psyche is barbecue, my domain.
Yes.
So barbecue's me. Me do cooking. That's what happens when we see a barbecue. I mean, I dread doing a barbecue because I'm not very good at getting the barbecue going. Even though I've reached the age of 47, there's still a real faff getting the thing going. So I've never really mastered the barbecue. I think once it's going, I do cook the food quite well.
Right.
I'm not very good at getting the thing going.
Well, you have never, in the years I've known you, ever invited me round for a barbecue. So it's yet to be seen.
It takes forever, and I spend about an hour fanning the thing, pouring fucking lighter fuel on it, petrol. Yeah. But I think a lot of men would like it, but it's on the list of things.
I know that. I think that's completely wrong. I'd be thrilled with that. I think any man would be thrilled with a lovely grill and fire and tongs to play with. That'd be great.
Right, next on the list is, basically, it's under the category chore-related gifts, and there are some examples here. Lawn care equipment. So it's basically sort of saying to your dad, here's just some shit for you to get on with.
You see, my dad had a gardening business for years. I think he'd actually quite enjoy lawn care equipment.
Yeah, but I don't think your dad should be out in the garden anymore.
I think he's ruled himself out. Yeah. He's on a timeout for a few months from the gardening.
And then like things like for DIY, like a tool kit.
I think that would go down quite well with a lot of fellas getting a tool kit. I gave my dad a screwdriver set a while ago, but it wasn't your average screwdriver set. It was one with all these tiny little things for these really intricate, finickety screws that you don't normally find in screwdriver sets. And he was absolutely thrilled with it.
Oh, I mean, that's the best gift in a Christmas cracker, isn't it? Those tiny little screwdriver sets, because you need those.
Yes, but although it tends to be true of the male gender that we'd love that kind of thing, you know, tools to do a job. However, in my experience, give a woman an ironing board, it's not going to go down very well.
Well, no, but I could give you an ironing board.
But it's the equivalent, isn't it? Because, oh, you know, here's a tool to do a job. You know, here's a new iron for you.
But I think there's a difference there, because you don't pander to the old-fashioned gender stereotype.
Here's a scouring pad.
Yeah, but that's giving someone a present relating to, as I say, an old-fashioned gender stereotype. You could give your mum, let's say, you could give her a little packet of screwdrivers, and she'd probably be just as delighted as your dad to get them. You give your dad an ironing board, and he'd be like, oh, that's great. But don't go down the route of the stereotype, because I think that is a bad road to go down.
I think if I gave my mum a new iron for Mother's Day, she'd swiftly beat me to death with it.
Of course, but get her some screwdrivers. When Mother's Day comes, you know what to do. Ties, dads don't want ties for Father's
Day. No, they
don't. No. When I used to wear ties, I used to like a good collection of ties. I wouldn't mind a tie for Christmas or whatever, but I don't wear ties anymore, so I've got enough ties.
No, I'm afraid to say the only time I'm wearing a tie these days are at funerals, so that's about it.
Okay. The final one on the list, I think this is probably one dad's very specific example of something not to be given on Father's Day. An arrest.
An arrest?
It says, my son got arrested on Father's Day after being ratted out by other kids for grass fire that had been started. So my Father's Day gift was to get down to the police station and be a part of his interview. Happy Father's Day!
Trevor, I've just had another idea for a great Father's Day present.
Yeah.
The sat-nav.
The sat-nav. I think a sat-nav is a great present. I swear by a sat-nav. I wouldn't go anywhere too far without a sat-nav. Brilliant.
Do you use a physical sat-nav or do you use an app on your phone now? Because I do these days.
Well, I've still got my original sat-nav. I mean, I don't really drive anymore, but it's a little bit out of date. But I suspect now you'd get it on your phone, wouldn't you? That's how people do it. It's all on the phone.
That's what I do. And I was using it this week as I was on my way down to the hellhole of Croydon.
And why did you need a sat-nav to get to Croydon?
Well, because I'll explain why. I use an app. I'm not going to name it because we're not being paid. So sodom. But the beauty of this particular sat-nav app is that it has live traffic updates and it will reroute you to avoid traffic.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
And also, it will warn you about speed cameras.
Yeah, mine does that. Even my old one does that. It'll beep at you when there's a speed camera coming up.
It will warn you about potholes. It will warn you about traffic jams, traffic delays, problems.
Say about the pothole? I mean, the pothole, does it beep when there's a pothole coming? Does it have a specific noise for a pothole?
It flashes up on the screen and beeps and lets you know it's coming up and be careful
of
it.
That must be relentless these days.
It's not good. But I had a unique one, very befitting of the journey to Croydon. Mm. I got something that I'd never seen pop up before because I live in sleepy, luxurious East Grinstead.
Does it tell you if there's a fucking horse box on the road in East Grinstead? You can avoid being stuck behind it for 4 hours.
This was a stroke of genius, and I thought of you immediately. Mm. As I was getting closer and closer to Croydon, near where you live,
yeah,
it popped up one I'd never seen before.
Right.
Police hidden in road.
Oh, wow.
And it says, because it likes to keep the app updated for all road users, and it popped up with a message, are they still there? And I thought, well, how the fuck should I know? They're apparently hidden.
So how does it know that? Are people reporting it?
I can only imagine, yes.
I mean, is this like an interactive sat-nav app that you can type in, which you shouldn't be doing while you're driving, of course, but I mean, how does it work?
Well, this is precisely the genius of it. You're absolutely right, because you can't interfere with it while you're driving, because that's a criminal offence.
Yes.
And if the police
which
are
is why
hidden,
they're hiding in the fucking first place.
Exactly. And if the police are hidden, then that would explain why I can't see them, so I've got no idea if they're still there. And I'm not going to start saying yes they're there or no they're not when they could be there, because then they'll instantly nick me for tinkering with my phone while I'm driving.
Quite right.
So I thought, for all your complaining about the road you live on being really annoying and really busy, all you need to do is download this app and start putting in reports that the police are hidden on your road.
Yes.
And then anyone who drives down it will get this notification, police hidden on this road. Everyone will soon start driving like an absolute saint because they think police are perched somewhere on your road. And no one's going to start questioning it or interfering with it at risk of being pulled over.
Could I then every now and again just pop out of the house with like a policeman's hat on?
That will be a criminal offence, impersonating a police officer.
I'm not impersonating a police officer. I've just got a hat on. Just happens to look like a police hat. It's actually an old bus driver's hat that I've got. So, yeah, but they look similar, don't they, to the old?
I would just encourage you to regularly report that there is hidden police on your road, and it will soon stop all of the honking and speeding and people driving like nutcases. I'm not sure if impersonating bus driver will pop up on people's sat navs. I don't know. Also, I mean, you know, why not go all out, report road closures, report, you know, fiendish, terrible potholes, report police hiding, report everything you can to prevent idiots speeding down your road.
Well, I mean, I'd love to do that. What I'd really like to do, though, is to have the, could you have, there's noise abatement officers in the road, so that even if you are going to drive down the road, do it quietly.
I don't think that it gets that specific for road noise abatement officers, but I think hidden police are enough, because it's an offence to use your home for the wrong reasons.
Quite
so
right.
Just hidden police, I think, is good enough. People won't start speeding. They won't start fiddling with their phones to confirm or deny the reports, because they don't want to get pulled over if the police are hiding, do they?
Can we also have, because one thing that isn't an offence yet, and when I'm in charge, it will be, is car radios too loud, or your stereo's too loud in cars. We've got to stop that happening. It's ridiculous. When my house shakes because someone's going by with their ridiculous sound system, always playing shit music as well. Right? Can that be an offence?
Well, you're going into grey territory there because, I mean, how loud is too loud? I agree if your windows are shaking, that's too loud. But I drive a lot for a living, and if a good tune comes on, I like to turn it up and have a bit of a sing-song. It cheers me up during an otherwise quite boring day.
I mean, I don't know why we just don't have, on car stereos, a limiter on the volume. That can't go above a certain volume. I don't want to hear what shit you're listening to. I don't want to...
Oh, but then you need, we need the decibel police then. It becomes very complicated.
Them. No, let's have them. I got really cross the other day because a neighbour just over the road decided for a couple of nights running, that's all it was, but it was enough to push me over the edge. They were sitting out on the pavement. I think their child was running up and down the road, but they were blaring out some dreadful music for about an hour. And I was going mental. I was like, why are you? There's no need for you to have that loud. You're sitting right by the stereo. You can hear it. I don't want to hear what you think is good music. If you were maybe, I don't know, putting something calming out, like a bit of, like at the local bus station, to try and keep people calm and maybe keep the youth away, they pump out classical music at the bus station, right?
Yes, but the problem is your neighbours to the other side of you might not like the classical music. They might be enjoying the pumping bass. Well, so what's one man's annoyance might be another man's, I don't know, treasure. Calm. Well,
again, let's have limiters on all systems able to play any kind of audio, limited.
What about for the elderly or the hard of hearing who might need to pump it up a bit?
Well, they'll have special dispensation, they have a special license that enables you to have it. But people abuse that, a bit like the blue parking badge. People will get counterfeit licenses to enable you to have louder music. Also, can we have, like this morning, I was so cross this morning, Ben, because it's been really hot, I had all the windows open in the bedroom. And the worst thing about that is the noise you can hear. And one of my neighbours, mad taxi driver, you know, we talked about him before, right?
Yes.
I think he's like part vampire. Because I know he works late with his taxi, but he seems to do everything overnight and early morning. And this morning at about 5:30, fuck knows what he was doing, but he was crashing and banging bins about and all sorts. And it was like, what are you doing this for? Why have you got no consideration? And then about half an hour later, I don't know if it was him, but somewhere, someone had something that was beeping a lot in the street. It was like, Jesus Christ, this cacophony of noise.
I know I've told you to do this in the past, and for such an angry man, I'm amazed you haven't done this. But why haven't you anonymously reported this guy or shopped him to the council or the police?
Well, I don't know what they do, really. It's just, oh, look, he's just constantly banging his bins around at night. I mean, would they do anything? I doubt it.
Well, I used to work for a gardening firm myself. It was Big Jeff's before he started becoming part-time stuntman. he used to own his own gardening firm, and we occasionally used to get the odd person who would quite unreasonably come and bollock us for starting up lawnmowers at like 8 in the morning, which is
quite right, yeah.
Perfectly reasonable. I mean, that is, you know, work start. I think from 7, I think you're allowed to start.
That's too early.
Out of respect. And out of respect, we would say we don't start up till 8. But you were within your rights to do so. But 5 in the morning, that's taking the piss.
I don't understand people. I just don't understand how you can't think of your neighbours. You have no awareness of the noise you're making and the impact that might have on your neighbours. I find that a very odd sort of human trait. But more and more people seem to have it. It's like, I do what I want and fuck everyone else. That just seems to be the way people are now.
I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do this. Because it would be illegal. But if you don't want to involve the council or the police, have you ever seen those ransom notes that people cut out letters from magazines?
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting you do. In fact, I'm suggesting you don't. But maybe, you know, I'm just saying threatening letters exist. That's all I'm saying. Take that information and do with it as you will.
I do think one day, if I ever leave where I am, move house, the last thing I'm going to do before I go is nick the cones he puts out to keep his parking space, because that annoys me. I've started saying loudly now. I know he can't hear me because I'm not going out and saying it, but when the windows are open and he's putting the cones out, I'm shouting. This is in my own living room. I'm on my own, remember? I mean, this shows the levels of madness that I've reached now is I'll be shouting out, oh yeah, put your cones out. Oh, it's my parking space. No one else can park here. Put my cones out. I'm doing that on my own bed.
Now, does he have a Ring doorbell or any sort of security camera set up?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I think I owe you a birthday present from last year.
Right.
If you do me the grace of finding out what the CCTV footage, you know, what the setup is around that area, then, you know, to fulfill, save me a bit of money and fulfill, you know, an old birthday present, I might cruise by and, you know, maybe those cones disappear.
Oh, the thing is, though, that's fine. You take them, but the consequences for the rest of the street, imagine that. We're going to have to deal with his madness, and that will take him to. I mean, he gets stressed enough if, for whatever reason, someone's parked anywhere near his house these days. He seems to be making his space larger and larger every time. I mean, I sort of can slightly excuse him a little bit now. I still don't think the cones are, you're not allowed really to put the cones out, but he has now got the electric cab. So if he can't get near his house, imagine the stress he's under because he can't charge the cab. But that still doesn't give you the right to sort of say, no, this is my parking space. No one else can park here. It's mine. It's all mine.
Well, we'll do it on a day where you're out somewhere where people can provide an alibi for you so that you can't possibly be incriminated.
Yeah.
I'll go and, you know, maybe I'll pay a visit to your road and maybe the cones are gone, who knows, and maybe while I'm there I'll interfere with my little sat-nav app and report all sorts of police activity so that he's thinking twice about any sort of vengeance.
Now earlier on, Ben, I mentioned, you know, a little Ben running around the house.
Yes.
Little patter of tiny feet in the Harmer household. And I'm sure I've asked you this before, but have you thought about names you'd have for any little Benjamins or Benjaminas that come into the world?
I have, yes.
And what would that be?
Well, it's an ongoing topic of debate with Mrs. Ben as to what the potential children would be called if they ever were to exist.
Right.
I like for a boy, Ellis.
Ellis?
Or Lewis. I quite like Lewis as well.
Anything that ends in is what you like.
Okay. For a girl, I like Zoe with an E-Y, Z-O-E-Y.
Right.
And that's my suggestions.
Okay. Mrs. Ben doesn't agree with these suggestions?
She's not keen on Zoe.
Right.
She doesn't really have any alternative situations, but I think I can wear her down with that one.
Right, okay, you can just impose your iron fist rule that you have in the Harbour household. So no, that's
absolutely. She doesn't mind Ellis or Lewis,
right?
But she is absolutely heart set on the name Dexter.
Oh,
now I think that's a nice name. I think it's after one of her favourite shows, which I don't think is a good enough reason. but I think it would be a better name for a dog, but. Mm. So we might have a bit of a clash on that. So we might need a female heir to the empire, then, because I think a male heir to the throne might cause bickering.
Well, when the time comes, just, you know, I'll come in. I'll be the sort of arbitrator in the discussions. I can throw some examples in of names you might want to choose. I mean, Trevor's
I don't mind
a nice
giving
name.
Trevor's a lovely name. I don't mind giving her as a middle name. Ellis Dexter, that's not bad. Ellis Dexter Harmer, that's not too bad.
Ellis Dexter Trevor Harmer.
Yeah.
Lovely name, wouldn't it? Lovely name.
Yeah.
How many names before it gets silly? Right, because I think anyone who's got, I mean, I think even two middle names, you sort of start thinking, oh, come on. And then, you know, like the posher you get, the more names you get. I think like good old working class people like us, but one middle name.
I had to push, yeah. I think I think middle names are a bit of a thing of the past, to be honest. But
do you?
A little bit. I think they're phasing out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I think because middle names are often maybe there to pay tribute to somebody, like your father or your grandfather, grandmother, that sort of thing, aren't they?
Yeah, mine are, in fact, all three of mine, now I think of it, are Ellis, Lewis and Zoe. They're all characters from my favourite video game. So yeah.
Right. I thought you were going to say all of those are family members who have been lost but not forgotten.
No.
And will be forever remembered through my children. But no, they're fucking video game characters. I mean, that is extraordinary.
Yeah, they are the civilian survivors from the game Left 4 Dead 1 and 2.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, no offence to Mrs. Benz, but between you, you've got video game characters and TV show characters.
Well, hers is a fictitious serial killer, so I think at least mine are honourable.
Okay, all right. Well, there was a bit of an uproar on a forum that I occasionally visit this week over a choice of a baby's name.
Go on.
So the mother had gone on the forum to ask people's opinion because her friends and some family members were not particularly fans of the name she'd picked. Now, I know that sometimes people pick a name based on a place that they love or maybe where they met. Maybe
Brooklyn Beckham springs to mind.
Yeah, where the child was conceived. You know, that sort of thing can happen. But I don't think this name, or as far as I can gather from reading the forum, not somewhere they've been, certainly wasn't where the child was conceived. They just liked the name. They've called their daughter Chernobyl.
Really?
Yes. After the place of the worst radioactive disaster the world has ever seen.
That's a tricky one, because to me that's dreadful. It's tacky, it's just inappropriate. But if you're going to allow place names, you're going to allow place names. Like I said, Brooklyn Beckham, if it's okay to name your kids after a place.
Yes, but again, like I say, I think Brooklyn was where they were when, you know, they conceived the child. They weren't in Chernobyl when they conceived Chernobyl. I doubt it. I mean, I can't say
it's
that
possible,
but you're only allowed in Chernobyl for a certain amount of time, and the amount of radioactivity there, I'm not sure things would work properly. Do you know what I mean?
I don't like it, but I'm not sure it's a matter for child services. I think it's just a terrible choice, but I think it's probably legal.
It's legal. There's no reason why you can't call your child Chernobyl, but would you want...
No.
Imagine when that child is grown up. Are they really going to want that name?
Also, how do you nickname it? I mean, is it going to be Cher? Is it going to be Nobby? Bill?
But it's a girl, so it's more likely to be Cher than Nobby or Bill. Look, again, I've gone to gender stereotypes there, haven't I?
You have a bit, but that's okay. I think that's the least of the problems here.
Why shouldn't it be Nobby or Bill? That's what you want to... But some parents don't like their children's name being shortened, do they? They don't, make sure you call her Chernobyl, the whole name, please. You know, like I remember a friend of mine once, he's a Jonathan, right? He's a Jonathan. And one day, just because we'd had a few beers and we were just chatting, and I called him John. And he went, it's Jonathan.
Oh.
All right, fucking hell. Like, so yeah, some people don't like it, do they? They don't like their names being short. I mean, I think it's fucking chill out, mate.
This week, actually, funny you say that. This week, I met a young lady called Rebecca, and I said, I've only met you the once before. Would you prefer Rebecca, Becky, Becca, Bex? And she said, oh no, that's fine. Anything but Becky.
Really?
And I thought, oh, because I thought Becky would have probably been my go-to.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, shortening. But so Bex, Becca, Rebecca, anything is fine except Becky. And all I wanted to ask was, what's wrong with Becky?
I know. Why? My friend's daughter's called Becky. It's a lovely name.
It is a lovely name. I thought, what? Who's upset you in the world that you must be known as anything but Becky?
Yeah, but of course she knows a Becky that's a bad Becky.
So I wanted to know, but it's far too impolite to ask, isn't it? But I think maybe if I get to know her better over the years, I might sort of say, well, what? Why not Becky? I'm really curious.
Yeah, but yes, it's weird, isn't it? I've never minded just Trev. You know, it's fine. Like my brother's real name's Terence, but he's always been Terry, or I call him Tel. You know, you even go as far as Tel.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to go the whole Terence route, do you?
No. No.
And then sometimes, like, you know, other people, like, they have names. I don't know whether this is sort of perhaps a slightly older generation thing, but there are a couple of relatives who were always known by a certain name, but that wasn't actually their name. Like, my gran, for example, was always just known as Peggy, but her name was Margaret.
Oh, so no connection at all.
But
okay.
Peggy was a well-known nickname for Margaret's. Back in the day.
Was it really?
Yes. Yeah. So Peggy was a well-known thing. I had another aunt, and I didn't know her real name Imagine this. I didn't know her real name until, sadly, we went to her funeral. She's right. always just been known as Molly to us, and that wasn't her name at all.
Wow. I mean, see, some of those don't have any sort of license at all, like, to make sense. Like, my gran was Irene, and she was known as Reen or Reenie.
But that
makes sense. But to jump from a completely different name, that's... there must be a story there.
And it's like I had an uncle who was... He was Uncle Harry, but I think his real name was Henry.
Yeah, I can see how that happens.
Because it's like Prince Harry. His real name's Henry, isn't it? He's a Henry. Harry, you can sort of... Yeah, Harry. The weird thing is, I bet, like, now the names... Like, as names change over the years, there's probably not that many Henrys now, but a lot of Harrys. It's not... Harry isn't just a nickname for Henrys. They are, you actually call the kid Harry.
Yeah, although I do think certain names will die out and never come back, unless
Nigel,
it's some sort of...
Barry.
Maud.
Maud.
Frieda. Keith. Yes, I don't see these names coming back.
I don't know. It depends. Because all you need is like a famous Maud. I mean, let's just say that one of the 10, 20 years in the future, you've got Prince Louis, right? Prince Louis has a daughter, calls her Maud. There'll be millions of Mauds all of a sudden.
Do
Maud
you think?
Will be back. Yes. Here's some other weird names that I came across. Cyanide. Why would you call your child cyanide?
I mean, that is actually a toxic, lethal poison. I mean, Chernobyl is at least a place associated with the terrible poisoning of sorts. But no, that I mean, that's like calling them arsenic.
You'll be glad to know that they weren't allowed to call them.
Good. I approve of that. Yeah.
This is in Wales, and the. A judge, it went to some sort of judgment, and a judge ruled that the name was unacceptable, even allowing for changes in taste, fashion, and developing individual perception.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if the parents thought, well, you know what? Cyanides have such a bad rap. Like, I mean, let's introduce our lovely child to the world and we can put a new positive spin on cyanide. Who? I know, I'm not expecting you to know the answer to this, but I wonder who reports it. Like, is it the midwife
registrar, won't it, when you go to register the name, presumably.
So they flag it up and then a judge gets involved, because otherwise if no one objects, someone has to object. And I suppose you're right, it has to be the registrar who just says that's unacceptable.
Yeah, or like would they say it to you, like if you go to register the name of your child and they say, well, what name is it? Oh, it's cyanide. Would at that point they say, well, I don't know if we can register the name with that we'd have to look into that, or whether they'd go, oh, okay, and then sort of they'd sit around afterwards thinking, have I just legally named a child Cyanide? And then they sort of knock on the judge's door. Hello, could you have a look at this? Yes, what is it? We've got a child, they want to call it Cyanide. Oh, for God's sake. You know, I've got more important things to be thinking about, like, you know, where I'm going to be playing golf later on.
I mean, the slight twist to this tale is that you can... quite happily call a child Dick.
Well, yes, but I mean, that's, you know, Dick's only become...
I'm thinking of any abbreviation of Richard. I'm thinking of Van Dyke. Dick is a perfectly acceptable name.
Yeah. But
Dyke as well. Dick Van Dyke. He's got all three. He's got two in there. But potentially unacceptable.
They're not... They were names originally. Do you know what I mean? They were names that became dirty words. You know?
Sorry, I want to go on a very, very brief tangent, but I do feel this needs to be said. Hmm. Have you seen the Coldplay All My Love video with Dick Van Dyke?
No, that's the sort of late... It's quite a new one, isn't it? No, I've not seen it.
It's a beautiful video, and he's dancing with a young woman in the video, and it's very heartfelt, and it has a lot of old footage of Dick Van Dyke, and it's beautiful, lovely thing. And then I realised the young lady he's dancing with, she's... I thought, oh, that's lovely. Dick Van Dyke dancing with his clearly his daughter there.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, no, he's married to a much younger woman. Yeah.
A much younger... mate, there's a much younger woman and then there's a much younger woman.
Well, he's 99. He's coming up for the big 100 very soon.
And let's put this in perspective.
Like, she's like in her 40s or 50s, isn't she?
When he was 44 years old, she was born.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lovely bit of footage of him dancing with her, who I thought was his daughter.
It's a lovely bit of footage of him dancing with his wife, isn't it?
So fine.
It's a lovely thing, and good on him, that's what I say. So a friend of mine once said to me, You know, Des O'Connor had a baby. Yeah, he was quite old when he had his.
He was in his 80s, wasn't he? And I think Al Pacino's done the same.
Yeah, I think Al Pacino. And a friend said to me once, said, you know, don't you think that's bad? Don't you think that's wrong? And I was like, well, no, not really. I mean, if he's met someone who's younger and they want to have children, all right. His sort of argument was they're not going to have their dad for very long. They might not even remember their dad. And I was like, well, but they all know that. They go into that knowing that, you know. Is that bad on the child? Is that bad for the child? Should you not have a child because of that? You might lose a dad any time in life.
True. I do feel like I've slightly derailed what we were talking about. But although you have brought us back round to another name, Des. Not many baby Deses anymore.
No. Desmond.
No, not many baby Desmonds. That's not happening.
I don't mind that. Let's bring it back. Can you... I mean, Dexter and Desmond, they're not that different. I might not be Mrs. Ben for Desmond.
I'm not sure that's going to wash. No.
Well, I used to like Desmond's on the telly. Good show. Starring Norman Beaton. Norman, there's a name. It's not coming back.
Yeah, other than Tutu and O'Connor, I'm not sure I could name you many Desmonds.
Lynham. Des Lynham.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
He's retired now. He's in his 80s, I think, now. Blimey. Again, of that era, you don't get any young Desis. It's got to change. Here are some other names that were banned, though, mate.
Go on.
Nutella.
Famous chocolate spread. I'm not sure why you'd name a child that, no?
Well, if you like it. Is it any different to naming them after your favourite TV show or video game character?
Well, I imagine could you get away with it if you said, yes, I'm aware it's spelled Nutella, but we actually pronounce it... Nutella, you know,
like it's a Spanish name.
Yeah, like with a Spanish E-double-L-A. It's Nutella. We visited Spain. We were inspired by the wording, the spelling, yeah. And this is our lovely child, Nutella.
Well, it wasn't allowed. Not based on any sort of copyright breach or anything. It was the judgment was it would make her a target of derision.
Yes, I can. Yeah, it's hard to argue against good judgment. Yeah.
Prince William was a name that was banned. Someone wanted to call their child Prince William. Again, rejected because it would lead to mockery. Well, Prince William himself is... he is mocked by something. But, would you be... I suppose you would be mocked for that name. I mean, Prince is a perfectly acceptable first name. William, a perfectly acceptable middle name. I don't know whether that should have been banned. I think Prince William would be all right. Unless now, if Prince William was sort of... a hyphenated first name somehow.
Well, there you go, because you know I'm Mr. Loophole. I like to find out, would Prince have been an acceptable first name and William an acceptable middle name, or did they go for Prince William as a first name?
Prince William as a first name is, I think, what they went for.
Well, then I can understand. I would have got around that by calling him Prince, middle name, William, surname, whatever.
You've got to think these parents were in it to take the piss, though, because their second choice, also rejected, was Mini Cooper.
Do they not have anything better to do with their time? I would have thought new parents would be quite busy rather than fucking around wasting time in the registrar office.
I mean, they might have thought it's hilarious, wouldn't they, to think, oh, let's call her Mini Cooper or Prince William. But rather than think about the terrible consequences of that child as they get older, they just, I mean, what else could they come up with to keep it going? Ford Focus? Now, here's some names that were eventually allowed, but had to go through a process of going to court. This was in Sweden. Metallica.
Okay. It's funny how some things they can ban for, you know, possible derision or taking the piss, but Metallica just sails through.
Lego.
Lego. I mean, why?
I mean, I suppose if you like Lego. But again, as a child, I just keep thinking of... I mean,
imagine, yeah, but you might like Prince Harry. So just because I like something, that doesn't always get you through, does it?
Also, I just think Lego... I just imagine that when you're in your 20s or 30s and you're going for a job interview. They're not going to take you seriously with a name like
Lego. No. I mean, if you're an aspiring, high-flying lawyer, then, you know, the top firms aren't going to want to have, you know, Lego as one of their representatives or partners, are they?
Mind you, I bet, like... posh people, because you know, like, posh people sometimes have odd names, don't they? Like Badger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, usually it's nicknames, not normally their christened name.
I knew someone once. I think they christened their child Badger. I'm sure they
know.
They were quite posh people. I worked with someone once. I'm sure they christened the child Badger.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know why this would have even been questioned, though. I mean, it was allowed. Again, in Sweden, Elvis. Why would that ever be questioned? Elvis is a perfectly acceptable first name.
I think so.
Named after the king of rock and roll. That's a lovely little tribute. Why would that ever need to be questioned? I don't have the answer to that in front of me, but I just wonder why in Sweden they thought, well, we're not, you know, you, like if I had to go to court to battle to have the name Elvis, I think society has fallen down.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't object to Bruce because of Bruce Springsteen, would they?
Or Bruce Forsyth.
Or yeah, or Mick, if it, because of Mick Jagger. I mean, Elvis is his own name. That's fine.
Madness.
I mean, you are going to be, people are going to think of Presley when you say my name's Elvis, but...
Yeah.
It's still a name in its own right.
Right, last one. This is in Sweden again. Now, this one, slightly different story. There are strict naming laws in Sweden where you have to register the baby's name by their fifth birthday.
Okay, that seems late, if I'm being honest.
But, you know, maybe you've got to think about it. Well, you know, maybe that's what
for people... For 5 years?
Well, maybe people don't put enough thought into it. That's why they come up with things like Lego. They look around, there's Lego on the floor, the kid's playing with Lego, you know, they think, oh, we haven't named the child yet, it's been 6 months. There's, have more time, have up to the fifth birthday if you're struggling.
That seems too long to me, but okay.
Anyway, a couple of parents, they weren't happy with having to register their child's name by the fifth birthday. They were fined because they hadn't done it. So in protest, here's the name they put forward. You ready for this?
Go on.
BRF XXCC XXMNP CCCC LLLMMN PRXV CLMN CKSS QLBB 11116. Supposedly pronounced Albin.
I bet Elon Musk was gutted he had that for his next one ready.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations. Got a message on Twitter this week, or X, I should probably call it. There's a name that didn't need changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is from Andrew. It says, hi, Trev and Ben. I can't remember what episode, but Trev was saying he was enjoying The Chelsea Detective. Well, it's a very good series, and Andrew agrees, says it's a great series if you're starting from the start, which I did. I'm now in the third series, and I've sort of... coming to the end of it, and then I do feel I'm going to miss it. It's one of those I think I'm going to miss this. I'm going to have to wait for a new series. I don't like that when you binge watch stuff and then you get to the end. It's especially when you've really enjoyed it. But no, it is good. But he's got a couple of other recommendations that he thinks I'm going to like.
Good stuff. What have we got
on the BBC? There's The Turkish Detective,
right?
Which I have heard a couple of other people talk to me about. That being very good, I've just never got round to it, so that's on the list. And also on Ewan Drama, one of those Ewan channels. Oh. Signora Volpe, which I've seen advertised. I think that's the one with Amelia Fox in, where she's a detective in Spain. The only thing about that is, I mean, I do like Silent Witness, but I do feel bad saying this because who am I to cast judgment? But I always find in Silent Witness her acting a little bit over the top.
I think you've got to give it a chance.
I will give it a chance. If it's a detective show, I'm going to like it. So thank you very much for those, Andrew. They're now on my list. And I will get onto those very soon.
Excellent.
I'm also going to recommend this week a documentary I watched on Channel 4. Again, not going to be up everyone's street, this. Called NASA, Nazis and the Space Race.
Wow, that's a meeting of worlds, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's well-known fact, isn't it, that America wouldn't have got man on the moon as quickly as they did without the help of the Nazi scientists that they brought over. And you know, they whitewashed their history, basically. I mean, Wernher von Braun, who became sort of the face of the space race in America, you know, I think very questionable things he was involved in. I mean, he invented the V2 rockets for a start, but yeah, I think he was deeper into the Nazi party than was ever really talked about. And there were many others that they brought over, who a couple of whom were sent back eventually.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at anything other than I'm not sure anyone in history has gently described the Nazis as questionable.
Well, I mean, they were questionable, weren't they? They were questionable at times.
I think that's putting it a bit lightly, if I'm being honest.
Anyway, it's a fascinating documentary. It'll be on Catch Up on Channel 4. And the other thing I'm going to recommend is the new series of Not Going Out just started on BBC One. Now, I've got to confess, I was a little bit nervous about this because I love Lee Mack. He's one of my favourite comedians. But I had felt the last series of Not Going Out, again, who am I to see who criticizes? But I thought the last series of Not Going Out was appalling, right? And I sort of thought, it's run its course. Let the thing go now. But it's come back, and what they've done is they jumped on the story a few more years. The kids have gone to uni, and they're making it slightly different now, and they're making it all in real time. So it's like you're watching a play. So everything happens within half an hour. The first episode was on this week. I've got to say, I really enjoyed it. I think partly because Mike Wozniak's in it, and I love him to bits. But it was actually a really good episode. So I'm hoping that bodes well for the new series, and it's not just the first episode was pretty good. Because as I say, I felt it was ready to lay it to rest, and maybe it's now had a resurrection.
Well, fingers crossed, because that sounds good. I mean, I'll watch Mike Wozniak in anything, and Lee Mack, so yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
Just before we finish up as well, I don't have any recommendations, but I would like to pass on my utmost thanks to the amazing staff at Croydon University Hospital for looking after Big Jeff after his horrible fall. They are amazing people working in shite conditions, so thank you very much to you lovely people.
Lovely. Well, and get better soon, Big Jeff, and stay out the garden, eh?
Absolutely.
Stay in, get pissed. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thanks very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trevor and Bill on X and on Blue Sky, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe. Stay safe, Big Jeff. Stay safe. Stay well. Take it easy.
Bye.